And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Handling gas and electrical emergencies. That's the topic of this week's Feature of the Week. I'm Cindy Menzel, and my guest this week is Frank Frioni. And Frank, thank you for being here. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
So Frank, I met you at a CERT meeting not too long ago, and we talked about gas and electric emergencies, and I thought this would be a great topic for this week's Feature of the Week. You are a public safety specialist first. What does that mean, and what do you do for PG&E?
I'm a public safety specialist. My job is the liaison agency rep for first responder agencies like police, fire, and San Mateo County Emergency Management Agency.
One of the things you talked about was what to do if we come up on an emergency involving gas, and there's a couple things we need to know. For example, if I smell or see gas, which I hadn't thought about, smell or hear gas, who are you going to call? What are you going to do if you see or smell gas, either at home or in a car or outside, anywhere?
Well, first of all, if you're smelling gas, you can either smell gas, you can see the gas coming up from under the ground, or you can hear the hissing sound of gas. If you smell it, see it, or hear it, you're too close. Move out of the area to a safe location where you're not smelling it or seeing or hearing it. Call 911 to get 911 to respond, then after call PG&E to respond out to that specific location and give them the specifics of what you actually saw or heard.
So who you're going to call is going to be 911 first and then PG&E.
Yes, exactly.
So what's the number for PG&E that people would need to call?
1-800-743-5000 is our general number.
1-800-743-5000. Okay, so then what about the meters? We talked a little bit about meters. What should people know and understand about their gas meters?
Well, one of the things you can do, if you suspect a gas leak or something in a business or a house, and it's safe for you to do so, turn the gas off at the meter. Typically, we ask people to have an emergency wrench attached to their meter, a simple little wrench you can buy at any hardware store or big box store, and zip tie it to your meter. So during an emergency, you don't have to go looking for that tool. See if it's in your junk drawer, in your toolbox. It's right there during an emergency. You can shut it off. So we ask you, if you see, hear, or smell gas during an emergency, just turn it off. But also, during the Loma Prieta earthquake, a lot of the local folks went around and turned everybody's gas off that did not need to be turned off. Only if you suspect there's an emergency or suspect there's a gas leak, to turn the gas off. If you don't think there's a leak at that house or don't think there's a hazard or danger, leave the gas on, because during these large-scale disasters, it's going to take several days, if not weeks, to be able to go out and reinstall everybody's gas and make sure the area is safe again.
What are those wrenches? I'm going to go back for them. What that wrench, it's a brilliant idea, actually, to attach it to the meter, then you don't have to find it. What exactly does it look like, or can you describe it?
There's a number of different manufacturers put out a number of different types of wrenches, but they're gas meter wrenches. Most of those wrenches also work on your water meters as well to turn those off. So there's a number of different configurations, from a multi-tool that has a little hammer built in to just a simple little aluminum wrench that has two openings at each end for two different size tangs or two different size valves that you can turn the meter off.
Frank, can you think of in the last year or two any experience you had here on the coast side, especially where there was a gas emergency that people might remember and know how PG&E related to it or worked it out?
Well, anytime there's someone that usually we have these where someone will run into a meter, hit a meter with a vehicle, or there could be a fire at a place where the gas needs to be shut off to isolate it so it doesn't actually assist in fueling the fire. So we've had that happen often. But one of the things I do want to emphasize, when the homeowners and the non-professionals turn the gas off, make sure that you call PG&E to turn the gas back on.
Good point.
It's critical that we come out there and we check all your meters, because at your meter, there's a regulator, and only allows a quarter of 1 pound pressure to go into your house. But leading up to that meter, the gas pressure can be anywhere from 20 to 60 pounds pressure.
Oh, my.
And we have to make sure that that regulator works appropriately, or you'll get that high pressure in your house, which will create all kinds of other dangers and hazards inside the house.
And again, the number is to call back to PG&E is 800-743-5000. And if you're in the house, we talked about the sound of the like a gas leak, when you hear it. What does that sound like?
It's a hissing sound, and inside the house you hear a hissing sound. It's broken off, or there's someone hits one of the gas lines prior to the meter, you'll be able to hear that hissing sound sometimes up to a block away, with pressures coming out again up to 60 pounds pressure. Inside the house, it's down to 1/4 pound pressure, so you won't hear it as well, but you'll certainly smell it.
So let's talk about electrical for a minute. So there's could be electrical. I'm thinking of car accidents or when you're outside, but it could be in the house as well. What should we know about electrical emergencies, how to approach them if we see them? What should we be looking for example?
Well, considered all down electrical lines as being live, whether it's a down electrical line, you think it may even be a cable line or a fiber optic communications line, consider those to be live electrical lines. Because there's instances where those cable lines and fiber optic lines could come in contact with our actual electrical lines energizing those. So keep all those lines safe at a safe distance. Make sure you don't approach them. Stay far enough away. If you have a down power line, stay at least 30 feet away from dry ground and 60 feet away if it's wet ground. Because not only can you get electrocuted by direct touching of a line, but you can get electrocuted by something called step potential, where electricity radiates out through the ground until it dissipates back in.
So you literally can be shocked even if you're 10 or 15 feet away from a vehicle or a downed line.
Absolutely. And if you also see a downed line across a vehicle, make sure that you tell those people to stay in the vehicle and you keep other people away from the vehicle and that you don't touch that vehicle. Because if a wire's laying across the vehicle, as long as the tires are inflated, they're relatively safe. But the moment you touch that vehicle or someone's touching that vehicle on the ground at the same time, you'll be the conductor back to the ground and could possibly get electrocuted.
So during the first responder training for CERT, you had the conversation about that. And if you're in a vehicle, a downed line, and for some reason you have to get out of the vehicle, I found this fascinating. How do you get out of a vehicle where you know that there's a downed line or there's a potential of a downed line and it's too dangerous to stay in the vehicle, but you need to get out and you don't want to be electrocuted?
Well, you said it right there. If you're safe enough to stay in the vehicle, stay in the vehicle until 911 arrives and PG can de-energize it. You're safe to call from your vehicle with your cell phone inside your vehicle. But if there's absolutely emergency where you have to get out of the vehicle, like the vehicle's engulfed in smoke or in fire, or you feel that you absolutely have to get out, the safest way to do so is plan where you're going to exit the vehicle. Unbuckle your seatbelt, open your door, stand at the edge of your door and jump free of the vehicle, making sure you cross your arms so nothing touches the vehicle and the ground at the same time. And when you land on the ground, you want to shuffle step away, not letting one foot go in front of the other, or keeping both your feet together and bunny hop away, again, for at least 30 feet on dry ground and 60 feet on wet ground, for the simple reason you can get electrocuted by step potential.
That step potential was just the most fascinating thing I discussed, I think, at that CERT training. Anything else we should know about electrical emergencies, either in the house or out in public?
Well, one thing, in combination with electric and gas emergencies, when people smell gas inside the house and they want to leave the house, they automatically have a habit of wanting to go and shutting the light switches off and turning everything off.
True.
If you smell gas in the house and you have to leave, just simply leave the house. Leave the doors open. Don't touch any switches. Anytime you turn a switch on and off, that creates a little bit of electrical impulse, and that could be enough to set off the gas leak inside the house. Again, treat all electrical lines as they're energized. And one, if people are using generators, to make sure you have them wired into your house by a certified electrician, and you isolate your generator electricity from going back up to the pole, making sure your main switch is turned off, so there's no chance your electricity can go back the other way up the pole and down the street and possibly electrocute somebody else.
Well, thank you so much for your time. So we have PG&E's Frank Frioni here. He's the public safety specialist. He was doing a presentation for first responders, but this is for you and I walking down the street handling gas and electrical emergencies. Frank, thank you for your time.
Thank you, and appreciate all the CERT members out in your community getting involved to help make sure you're safe, your community safe, your family safe, and we appreciate all that you do for us.
Thank you so much. That's Frank, and I'm Cindy Menzel, and this is this feature of the week.
Always informative, Cindy Menzel with our feature story of the week. Everyone should have one of those tools to shut off your home gas line in an emergency. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.